Father God, I thank you so much for the word of God coming forth. I yield myself as a vessel. I pray that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that I will properly articulate the word of God to your people. Father, I thank you that you anoint their ears to hear and their hearts to receive, that the Spirit will speak and say to them, and they will receive what you have for them to bring them closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and go into Proverbs 17:3. Proverbs 17:3 is about us understanding. At the end of this, we should understand the takeaway is that you got to guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. When the Bible says the Lord judges after the heart, that means a whole lot. A lot of people just hear it and people quote it. And a lot of people quote it. Sometimes nowadays people quote it so much. I might ask somebody, what does that mean to you? And they stammer. What does it mean that, the Lord tries the heart? What does it mean out of heart flow the issues of life? They have to pause and stop, but yet they just quoted it. Well, you know, out of issues of heart flow life. Yep, that's where it goes. Out of heart flows the issues of life. And you say, what does that mean? See, we got to stop that. We got to stop that because that's religion. That's not understanding. That's religion. If you don't understand it, you might not be doing it. And the thing, God is not going to judge you off your head. He's going to judge you off your heart. And when we're talking about understanding, we're not talking about just the head. We're talking about understanding the heart. Because God judges after the heart. There's a whole lot of intelligent people in their head that are spiritually stupid. There's a whole lot of intelligent people in their head who went to seminary, Bible school, and still going to bust hell wide open. Because going to Bible school doesn't get you to heaven. Reading the Bible doesn't get you to heaven. Living the Bible and believing the Bible in your heart gets you to heaven. That's the doing and the believing. So you got to have it in your heart to believe it because the Lord's going to judge what's in your heart and what's in your mind. He's going to judge those together. And I want to prove it to you from the word. Nothing I say matters. Whatever a preacher says is not important, doesn't matter, unless there's a root in the word of God to support it or it's common good sense that everybody knows. You can't just believe folks because they said it. Like I said, everything with a cross on the top is not a church. God's going to judge after your heart, and he's not going to just look and say, oh, they went to church regularly, their attendance is good, okay, they're right with me, let them in heaven. Some people tell you the other lie. Well, it's got nothing to do with that because it's all Jesus, and, you know, we're declared righteous by Jesus. We are declared right. That's the sinner, the heathen, is declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. The born-again person has to live righteous because you were freed from the bondage of sin so you can now live righteously. And when people take the revelation of grace to the unbeliever and apply it to the believer, you end up with a deceived Christian who's on their way to hell and don't know it. Because they frustrated the grace of God. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, and they frustrated because they wouldn't believe the Lord in their heart. They learned religious ease. They began to serve the Lord with their lips, but their heart stayed far from him, and God judges after the heart. And that's a revelation not a lot of people know. You are saved by grace through faith, not of works. But once you get saved, now go work out your salvation. And if you were saved unto good works and you don't get to the point where your heart is right, you're not going to work. A person that has a right heart can say they're born again and do nothing for the kingdom of God all their life. But yet say they're born again. Do you think God's going to say that person got a heart for the kingdom, heart for the things of God? Do you think God's going to say that? There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Bible says where your heart is, that your treasure is. Their treasures in their job. Their treasures in that money. Their treasures in that bank account. Their treasures in fame and recognition. Their treasures not in the things of God, the people of God, or the church. And God's going to judge after the heart. That's what the scripture is trying to get over to people. And so many people, this is an Old Testament skip, revealed 4,000 years ago in the book of Proverbs. And to this day, you still got believers, so they call themselves, who don't understand. God's not going to weigh all that stuff that you weigh. It's not going to weigh how good your job was, how smart you were, how many kids you had or didn't have, how well you keep your house. He's going to look at your heart and say, do you have a heart towards the things of God? Is your heart pure towards God? Are your thoughts and your mind upon heaven? He told him that 4,000 years ago, and here it is 4,000 years later, and people still don't know it. Preachers don't know it, some of them. And that's sad because the Bible says in the latter days, the blind will be leading the blind, and they're all going to fall into the ditch. In the latter days, there will be many false teachers deceiving many. Many is more than half. And I can honestly believe that I honestly believe of the people who call themselves ministers, I believe more than half of them aren't right with God. Pastor, I can't say that. I can't say that. I'm not judging them. The word of God says many, and many is more than just half. And I guarantee you, if you look at simple things like that, you're teaching people the revelation of grace as though they're sinners when they're now saints. So therefore, you're not teaching them. They need to work out your salvation, because Apostle Paul has said you're saved by grace through faith, not of works to an unbeliever. But yet he says to the believer, now work out your salvation. And a preacher tells, gets people saved, and then they tell them work out their salvation. What's going to happen? They're going to have no works. They're not going to have anything done. We didn't say you got saved by our works. We said now you ought to work out your salvation to stay saved. That's two different things. You can't work and live right when you're in bondage to sin. But now that you're free from bondage to sin, you can work for God and live right. There's people that don't volunteer. There's people that don't attend church. I was one of those people. When I got born again at 15 and a half, I confessed Jesus Lord after all those, well, 15, and by 15 and a half, I was out of church and go back to I was 20-something. If you ask me, was I saved? Yes, because I had said the magic words. If you ask me if I'm doing anything for God, no, but I wasn't a bad person. I mean, there's people worse than me. You know the argument. There's people worse than me. I'm not like that one over there. I'm not like that publican. That's what they said. A person stood near and told Jesus, well, we're not like that publican. Jesus said, you also ain't like me. You know, and you're supposed to be looking to the author and the finisher of faith. But that's only if your heart is to serve God, not your heart to keep from going to hell. And if your heart is just to keep going to hell, you believe anybody telling you, do as little as possible, you won't go to hell. Say these magic words, live like the devil, you ain't going to hell because you said the magic words. Grace covers it all. Oh, people are going to fill that church up. Thousands, tens of thousands. But that's not true. If you love God, it's evident in your heart and your mind. Your mind is not on the things in this world, but it's on things above. Your heart and your affections are set on things above. And this is what God's talking about in this verse. The fining pot for silver, or the refining pot, or the purifying pot, is how they clean up and purify silver. They get the sin out of it. They get the, I'm saying sin for people, but they get the dross out. They get the stuff that's not pure silver. The stuff other than the shiny, pretty stuff. It gets out the world. It gets out the flesh. It gets out all these earthly desires. The same thing with the gold, the furnace. The fire of the furnace will purify the gold. But God, he's not putting you in the fire right now to purify you, even though some preachers preach that. He's not putting you in the fining pot to purify you. He's not tempting, testing, and trying you the way they say. By the Lord is tempting and testing, and the evil's coming on you, and God's trying to see if you're going to do it, and he's holding care to the world out there and see if you're going to take it. No, it tells us in the New Testament in James, let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, he's tempted, tested, or tried of God, for God does not tempt, test, or try any man with evil. God's not the devil. He's not there tempting people to do evil. God might tempt you to do good. When they talk about the Lord trieth the heart, they're not talking about the God is tempting you. That is one of the definitions of the word. But if you look at the definition of the word in a clean context, it says that it's going to be, well, let's look at the next slide. We'll go to it. Next slide. This is what it is. It's the examining or the scrutinizing or the proving. That's the definition of that word when they said the Lord trieth you. I'm going to prove you. You know, you said you love me. Let's just see about that. We're going to prove you. You say you examine. Lord's going to examine you. This is nothing about the God hanging out. Hey, here's a girl that's dressed all lusty, and we want to see if you're going to be lascivious enough to go after her. That's not God. That's the devil. Hey, here's a temptation to lie, cheat, and steal. That's not God. That's the devil. That's not God. That's the devil. But people will try and say, even though God said he'll tempt no man with evil, they're trying to say the Lord's just tempting me and test me. The Lord won't put more on what you can bear. That's stuff the devil's putting you. God isn't putting nothing on you. You got to worry about bearing, because he's not tempting you any sin. He's not trying you in sin, but he is watching you. God's got his eye on you. He's got his eye on me. Like, I see you. I just want you to know I see you, because you say you my child. You say me, you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. I'm watching you. And they don't even preach it like that. They preach about the Lord's putting their stuff on you, and the Lord's trying to let you suffer to see if you're going to cry out to him. The Lord's doing all this evil. I was like, what you need a devil for if God's doing all that evil to folks? Why do you need a devil? I mean, you think you're going to win when God and devil both after you? How you going to win when God and devil both after you? They're both supernatural. We're not. And people preach the gospel like my God is out there killing folks. My God trying to teach them a lesson. My God putting sickness on them to see if they can bear it. And see if my God, what, Joni Erickson Tata, the lady that I don't know what happened, fell off a horse or something, but she got crippled. And she goes around giving a strong testimony. I thank God for my paraplegicness, because if I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't have got to know the Lord. So that's what God teach folk. That's like me coming in school teaching. I'm teaching Tavares in Dakota. You don't get lessons. Put that cancer on them. Yeah, cut his arm off, you know, make him cripple. What kind of God is that? I like what one person said. Stop calling my God a child abuser. But yet people are teaching that God's tempting, testing, and trying you with evil. God is examining you. The teacher ain't trying to be evil. They're just testing you to see if you know the material. They're examining. They're scrutinizing you. You say you all that. Let me check you out because, see, you didn't do that problem quite right. You're supposed to be getting the A. You didn't do it quite right. Let's come over here and let me examine you. No, no, that's not right. You got to do this like that. God is teaching you. He's identified we need help. He's not out there testing you with some evil and putting cancer and disease on you and not putting more than you can bear. That's nonsense. That's false doctrine. The fining pot is for silver. Yes, in the silver, they got the fining pot. In the gold, they got the heat. They got the fire. But God ain't doing that. God's checking your heart. He's not putting you on fire. He's not putting you under pressure. He's testing your heart. He's examining you to see if you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Examine you to see if you're following. Examine you to make sure you're going to pass the test at the end. He's making sure you know how to examine yourself, lest you not be examined. Making sure you know how to judge yourself so you pass the judgment and not need to be judged in the end times. That's totally different from somebody trying to do some evil trick or mess to you. But God says, look, I try your heart. I'm not looking at your mouth, because people say all kinds of stuff with their mouth. I'm looking at your heart. Is your heart to serve in ministry? Is your heart to please the Father? Is your heart to obey the will of God? Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. You can look at what people do and you can tell the condition of their heart. I always say, since my job as a pastor is to perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry, hey, here's an opportunity to get involved in ministry. You going to get involved in ministry? No, I'm going to go out here and make that money. I'm going to sit down and rest at church, but I'm going to go out and make that money. 5 days a week, make that money. Can't give God 3 hours. That's too much. God's asking too much. That's a revelation of the heart. You think God's going to care about all that other stuff? He's going to say, he's going to look and say, what was your heart? Because everybody follows their heart. Everybody follows their heart. Even the evil person or the person who's there trying to do good. You're trying, but you're failing. You're following your heart because that is what you're doing. And that's why God can say, you know, a tree by the fruit it bears, because everybody's following their heart. The question is, he's going to test that heart. If that heart's not towards the things of God and the love of God, that person will be a problem. That heart is towards making that money. That heart is towards fornicating. That heart is towards lying, cheating, stealing, whatever else. God wants to know, are you his? If you are dead and buried with Christ, you don't have any problem with God trying your heart, because you're alive to God and you're dead to this world. You were buried with Christ and risen to a new life in God. You don't have no problem. God, sure. What can I do? What can I do? How can I help you? Not a problem, God. No, not a problem. When a person's like, no, I'm saved. Do you have any works? I don't need no works. I can just have the works of the flesh. I ain't got to have no works for God. You're saved unto good works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man to boast. It's the gift of God. We're saved unto good works. If you need to read the next verse, it says why you're saved. Unto good works. Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one, and God needs people working in his field and his kingdom, because the field is wider than the harvest, but the laborers are few. The workers are few. I can't do any more through this church, or God can't do any more through this church, or God can't do any more through your life or my life than we are faithful to him. And devil would do everything to think being faithful to your job is how you get ahead in God. God does say, man want to eat, he got to work. You want to eat, you got to work. But God also said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word proceed out of the mouth of God. That supersedes getting that bread for your stomach. And I had known God to be like, you know, God, you can't go to work. You're not letting me go to work. I can't go work 40 hours. I can't do that. God's just saying, look, even in that, let me work through you. But also do things directly for the kingdom as well. I don't think God's greedy. I don't even think he's overbearing. It's like they said, it's only your reasonable service. But if your heart is not right and you're serving God with lip service, it'd be evidenced by your inaction. It'd be evident. It's evident to God. Somebody must have been praying, make it plain, because I'm making it real plain. You can't misunderstand it. You'd have to get a preacher to misunderstand what I'm teaching you. Some preacher to say, well, that ain't really what he meant. Have God say it. God said exactly what he said. He's going to judge the heart. That word trieth means examine and scrutinize. God will examine our hearts. He's constantly examining our hearts. He scrutinizes our hearts. If you look over in Proverbs 5:21, it says a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord and he ponders all his path. That means God thinks about what you're doing. And God's like, do they love me? They said they love me. Let me see. Okay. Opportunity to do something for me. Opportunity to do something for the world. Go with the world. Opportunity to do, over the world. I mean, somebody may once or twice something come up, but when people's habit is God is not that important, God's not going to bother them. He's not going to bother them at all. He'll just let them go on down the road. But the surprise would come when we did all that talking and we reached the end of our lives and God says, this is not for you. But God, God, you know, I gave tithes some of the time. God gave offerings some of the time. He said, but I told you to don't forsake the assembly of saints. I told you to get involved in ministry. I told you to, I put gifts in you and you used them to make money. We had somebody to work with children and they were like, oh, you know, we said, oh, you're really good. You're over this daycare or whatever it was they were doing. And Helen came and told me a story. This was years ago. And the person said she had asked the person about it because they were really gifted in that area and knew about the early child education, all that. We were kicking off that ministry and the person like, I do it all week long. I don't want to do that at church. So you're gifted at that and you want to get that to the world, make money. And you want to come do something ungifted at the church. Seems like to me, every gift you have, like every good gift and every good act of giving coming down from the Father above and lights. And the world may benefit from the gifts God give you. They benefit from the gifts he gave me of organization and of structure. They benefited from those gifts when I worked at Kinko's managing, when I worked over here managing or whatever. They benefit from that gift, but it was always for the kingdom. You can go out with that gift and make money in the world. But when people say, I'm not giving that gift to God, I'm giving that gift to make money. That's a revelation of the condition of their heart. I will do for the world that which I will not do for God. That's a revelation of the heart. We can't get around that. And we got to make it plain because I got to tell you always, it's going to be hard to go to hell from Joy Faith Christian Center. You ain't going to be to blame me. I'll be like, Lord, I told him, if you tell me, I'll tell them. People will know how to be righteous and holy before God. And you won't be confused with that nonsense that's being preached out there. The truth is always in the Word of God, not what Pastor Cook says, what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells us that the firing pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord is going to try your heart. He's not trying to put you in no fire, not trying to stick you in a furnace, not trying to put you under pressure to make a diamond out of you. God's just trying to say, are you following my word? Because I'm examining you. I'm going to check you. I'm going to see. I'm going to scrutinize you. If you said you want to follow me, as long as you said you want to follow me, you come to church, you open the Bible, I'm going to be pulling on you. I'm going to be saying, come up higher, come up higher, come deeper in me. I'm going to be saying that. I told you years ago, I won't go to a church if I'm not challenged because I'm not that perfect yet that I shouldn't be challenged. If I go to church, I need to be challenged. Some of you being challenged tonight. Oh, I need to come up a little higher. I need to tighten that up. There's an area that, ooh, this hit me in the word. It's not me. I'm just preaching. But the word of God discerns the intents of the heart. And God is talking about he's going to scrutinize. He's going to determine the intent of your heart. Is your intent to do the things of God or your intent to see how much you can get from God? What is your intention in the kingdom of God? I had one lady at the church a couple years ago. She was a lawyer. She got law school and spent all that money, law school, all that. She even volunteered at church for about 4 or 5 months. And she was frustrated because nobody would hire her. She had the student loans and all that stuff. And she was very frustrated. And she said she was mad one day. And I said, well, what's wrong, sister? She said, you know what? Nothing's working out in my life. Nothing's working out. And I said, well, you know, you got to be patient. What is she trying to do? Go out and apply here. I applied there. I did that. And nobody's calling me. When they do call me, and I go to tell them to hire. And blah, blah, blah. And she's very frustrated. I said, well, you know, things happen. It takes some time. But you eat, sleep, drink, right? She said, yeah. I said, well, you all right, then. It's going to be all right. Just stay in the boat. You're going to get to the other side. Don't jump out and drown. Stay in the boat. And the first time I was able to talk off the mountain, another month or so go by, and she said, you know what? This whole Christian thing is a lie. She said, I got saved so God could get me a job. And he hadn't got me a job. I said, oh, that's a problem, sister. Because, see, you ain't going to be able to twist God's arm because he be God, you be not. You're not, if you're telling me you got saved a couple of months ago because people told you God would meet your need, God will meet your need when you meet his. You give your heart to him. But if you're saying, I'm going to use God, and you think he doesn't know the true intent of your heart, oh, the last thing you're going to get is a job if that's what you're trying to hold God hostage with. I tell you, that's the last thing you got. You better let that go, because if you got another God before him, he just don't seem to work right with that. He's got the issue where he will have no other gods before him, for he's the Lord thy God, is a jealous God. If you surrender your heart to him, you get a job, money, whatever you need like that. But you got to surrender all your heart, because God only wants one thing from you. That's all of you. And that's going to come from your heart. And we have this thing where we serve God with our mind. It's called mental assent. We agree to the word. We just don't do the word, because you don't do it till it's your heart. And God's trying to teach us. He's going to judge after the heart. It says the heart. The heart is the locus of a person's thoughts. That's the definition in the Greek lexicon. It's the locus of a person's thoughts, which is a person's mind, a person's volition, which is their will, a person's emotions, mind, will, emotions. That's the soul. But it said their conscience, their true intent. So God examines, scrutinizes, and proves what's going on in your mind, what your real will is, what you feel about doing the word and the will of God, and feel about his people. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The first commandment, love the Lord thy God. The second greatest commandment is similar to it. Love thy neighbor. God wants to know, do you love the church? Do you love his body? Do you love your neighbor? If you see a neighbor lacking that thing, do you give to them? Do you love your fellow man? God wants to examine, scrutinize, and prove your love walk, your thought life, what your true will is, what you feel about the things of God. Well, you know what? I don't feel like going to church on Wednesday. That's why I don't go. There's a lot of people don't feel like going. It ain't they can't go. They're home. They'll say something like, I'm tired. That's another way of saying, I'm too tired to go to church, but I ain't too tired to watch TV. I'm not too tired to do anything else they do, but I'm too, well, okay, if you're too tired for that, can you do Bible study? Too tired for that, too. Can you talk on the phone with somebody, call? Yeah, I got energy to do that. Can you watch some nasty movie? I got energy for that. Can you watch YouTube? Yeah, I got energy for that. Got time for Facebook? Yeah, I got time for that. Got time for Twitter? Yeah, I got time for that. Got time for Instagram? Got time for Snapchat? Just ain't got no time for God, because I'm tired. God's going to mistakenly think you're tired of him. That's right. Get somebody amen corner there. That's exactly what God thinking. What? But God examines and scrutinizes and proves what you really think, what you really got in your head, where your affections are really at. God knows what your real will is, because everybody does their will. Jesus, the only one, said, not my will, but thy will. And Paul and a few other ones. But most Christians say, not thy will, Lord, but my will. Now, if it's something I want to do anyway, I'll do it. And I'll just say, see, I'll obey your will. That was something you wanted to do anyway. We want to know whether you put your will down and let his will come up. Jesus did. Lord, is there another way? Please, I didn't want to go to that cross. Folks died on the cross. I grew up watching people. That was never on my bucket list. Nothing I wanted to do. That does not look like fun. God, can you take this cup away from me? God didn't even answer him. Most people are going back and say, oh, the Lord left it up to me. Okay, I ain't going on the cross. He knew he needed to go, unless he got you, ain't got to go. And he did not. He went back again. And they said the God, Father answered him not. So he turned and he set his face as it were flint to go towards the purpose of God. And not my will, Father, but thy will be done. That's sacrifice. And you got folks won't work in the church, won't talk to nobody about Jesus, and they think they're going to his heaven. And they think they like Jesus, too. The author and the finisher, they really, you talk about deception, you talk about delusion, that's delusional. People are nothing like Jesus, their heart is nothing towards God, and they think they're going to heaven because they said some magic words. With their lips, they serve me, but the problem is their hearts are far from me. And the Lord judges after the heart. That's what he's trying to get us to see. It'd be better if you shut your mouth and followed him with your heart. You get to heaven. But if you talk and you don't follow the heart, you ain't going to heaven. But Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, did we not preach? Lord, did we not do that? He said, yeah, but are they going to say that? They're going to say all that. But I'm going to say, you didn't do the word of my Father. Because there's things where people say, my life is going to stay my own, but I'm going to pick enough things minimally to do so I can feel like you are letting me in. God said, the only problem is I told you to die to yourself and give all of yourself to me. Give me your life like Christ gave it. He gave all so the all would not be lost. The all is not lost. Got to give all to him till they draw their last breath. Then he gives them all of eternity. But if you don't give him all your life so he can use you to multiply his kingdom, you broke the deal. You're in breach of contract. If you breach your side of contract, God's under no obligation to uphold his side of contract to take you to heaven because you confess some words. Because you lied. Many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this, that, or the other? And Jesus said, I will say to them, get thee from me, for you did not the will of my Father. What is the will of God? That you put your will under his. God only wants one thing. That's all of you. Everything. He only wants one thing, everything. That's tough when you're in love with this world. That's tough when you love your flesh more than you love God. There are people who haven't even given their life to God who think they've given their life to God. They've made kind of a bargain, but they haven't given it. Total surrender. Excellent book by Andrew Murray, I think it is, Total Surrender. He also wrote another one, Submission and Authority. Watchman Nee has one out on authority. Oh, you start looking at, whoa, when I make God authority in my life, my opinion doesn't matter. My thoughts doesn't matter. My feelings doesn't matter. My mind doesn't matter. My will doesn't matter. My emotions don't matter. I don't feel like doing it. I'm doing it anyway. I don't see how that's the right thing to do. I'm doing it anyway. You know, I really don't will to do that. I'm doing it anyway. Because not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The hope of my glory. Me reaching glory, my hope is in him. And if I get out of him, I might as well stop hoping I'm going to glory. It ain't going to happen. Christ is the hope of glory. It's not hard. Just do what he says. Don't worry about what you don't know to do. Just do what you do know to do. The rest of it will be fine. If your heart does not condemn you, you can have faith towards God. If your heart doesn't condemn you. For as many are led by the Spirit, what is the Spirit? The count of the man. What's the count of the man? The heart of the man. If your heart doesn't condemn you, you have faith towards God. We've got to get to the point where we stop violating our heart. Because I know you go to Word Church. I go there too. I know the pastor real good. And I know where he's getting it from. And the word is there. So I know you know it. Are you doing it? It's up to you. If you have a heart to obey God and you find it's the word, not because the pastor said it, but it's the word and you obey it, your heart won't condemn you. God's leading us, prompting us to do these things. And we're like, no, not going to do it, God. I understand the importance in my mind, all that. Matter of fact, I'm going to say I do it. Yeah, I follow God. I serve God. But when you look at the fruit, ooh, why didn't we do that? Because my mind agreed it was right. I mentally assented to do it, but I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. But yet I'm going to heaven because the preacher told me that it's all by grace and it's not works anyway. That preacher is a liar. And that doctrine is from the pit of hell. And there's going to be a whole lot of well-meaning people who could have gone to heaven if they weren't sitting under false doctrine where the preacher says, follow my denominational truths and follow me instead of saying, only follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't show you the word saying that you can continue sinning, when Jesus said, go thy way and sin no more, I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came to do away with sin. You were once in bondage to sin. Now you're free from sin. And preachers better talk about it. It's all of grace. It was a grace to the sinner to get saved. It's the grace of God for the saved person now to live righteous and holy because they're free from the bondage of sin. Now for the first time in your life, you can choose righteousness. Sin does not have bondage over you. If you choose to go back to sin like a dog to his vomit, that's a choice you made. You didn't have to do it. You chose to do it. If God now is witness to you that, hey, this is sin. I shouldn't do that. But you say, I'm going to do it anyway. That's not you in bondage of sin. That's you choosing to disobey God. And if we gave our life to him, we have to seriously study. This is a heavy message. This is for real. I knew it was going to be like that. I was about to send an email out to everybody, but sometimes I do that and scare people away and less people come. I say, oh, it's going to be good tonight. You don't want to miss tonight. Everybody miss tonight. They're like, you know, I ain't coming tonight because I ain't coming tonight. Not tonight. I'll come next week. I ain't coming tonight. Because I knew when I was preparing for this, I said, Lord, you trying to get real up in here tonight, huh? I had to get my spanking for you all get yours. I told you, if he spanked me, it's coming out of line. He's telling us all, I love you all, and I want to see all of you in heaven. I want you to enter that reward where you say, oh, thank God I had enough sense to follow you and obey you. But you got to be scrutinized first. You got to be examined first. You got to prove yourself faithful to God first. And the proving is the doing. So those who are doers of the word, not hearers only, are the ones who be blessed. So we're just talking about doing what's written. That's all. Obeying your heart when your heart is right with God. Just do the right thing. If you know it's right, do it. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. That's all we're talking about. Same thing. Obeying the word. But God's going to examine, scrutinize, and prove your thoughts. What are you thinking about? I'm thinking about sleeping with that girl I'm not married to. That's what I'm thinking about. Wrong thought. You need to renew your mind to the word of God. Lust, adultery, you'll burn in hell for that. I ain't trying to burn in hell. Nope, I'm thinking of my wife. Don't be doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Okay? If you know it's wrong, leave it alone. Because God, your ways and my ways are before the Lord always, and he will judge, but he's trying to scrutinize us, teach us. So before we had a final exam and fail and go to hell, he wants to make sure he worked with us on our spiritual arithmetic. This plus that equals hell. This plus this equals heaven. Now, you stick in what you want to put in the equation, but that's going to equal hell if you add it that way. It's subtracting from you. And if you add it this way, that's going to equal heaven. We need to be adding unto us the things of God, not subtracting things of God. We need to be doing the positive, not the negative. We need to be going up in God, not down in God. We need to be pressing into God, not pulling back from God. Are you in the press? Are you constantly thirsting after righteousness, desiring to be better? You got victories behind you lined up for years, and you pressing forward for more victories because you don't count yourself to have attained yet. But this one thing you do, you forget all the past. You don't rest on your laurels. You don't start talking, at least I'm not like them. You just keep pressing to be more like him. You just keep pressing to be more right. Well, oh, thank God I'm over here on this side of salvation. I can stop working because it's all Jesus. That's a trick. That's a trick. You just now entered the press. You just now got to the point where you can choose freely if you want to obey God or not. You just got to the point where you got the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to be your revelator, to reveal all things to you. Now you see more to do than you saw when you were a sinner. Now the question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to be a doer of the word? Because the Holy Spirit is going to be a teacher. But are you going to be a doer? If you're a good student of God and you're pressing into the word, it's no problem because your heart is to do right. But if your heart is not to do right, your heart's just to miss heaven, you'll take any little scheme of any preacher they'll give to you to say, yeah, that's easy. I'm going to do that. I just got to sing, shout, dance on Sunday morning. I don't have to live right on Monday through Saturday. That's a mistake. That's a trick of the devil. And you can't trust the churches anymore. You can only trust the word of God because there's too many of them that's been deceived already. It's too many of them. It's too many churches that what they're doing has very little relevance to actually the word of God. It's literally what God said. It'll have any semblance or resemblance. There's a church in front of the building. The preacher may be wearing a suit. They may be singing songs that sound like they're spiritual, but it's not right. There's a lot of that going on, folks. I'm looking at ministries that used to be right that's wrong now. I'm looking at folks that's drifting away who are right and they're drifting. And I'm trying to stay with the word the way I was taught. Stay rooted and grounded in the word. If you don't see it in the word, I don't hear it. I'm reading all kinds of books about pastor. I'm like, that's not right. That's not right. That's not important. That's not what's there. Why are they talking about that and not talking about this? They're getting off the truth. Faith comes by hearing. All the church is filling up with sinners, not sinners that got saved, just filling up with sinners who are still sinning. And they said some magic words, but they didn't realize their hearts did not change because their actions have not changed. The seed of their heart is still rotten because the pastor did not tell them God is calling you up higher to clean up. Churches are not preaching stop sinning. People don't want to hear it, so they don't preach it. If you roll up in some of these churches nowadays, and some of them may have thousands and thousands of people, you ain't going to hear nothing about you doing wrong. You're going to hear how much God want to do for you. You hear good things about your marriage and your family. Those should be taught. We teach those too. But not missing, but you got to stop sinning and live right. Because that's not becoming of a child of God. Unrighteousness will get you in trouble. You can go to heaven with a bad marriage. You go to heaven with your finances screwed up. But you ain't go to heaven carrying a bag of sin. Jesus ain't having that. The Lord thy God is a righteous God. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I've called you into holiness. I've lifted you out of the miry clay to establish your feet upon the rock of the word of God. You live and eat and exist on the word of God. That's the stuff the Bible says. But other people are just not mentioning that. They just keep doing churchy stuff. Churchy stuff. But are you getting sin out of the hearts of men and women? If you're not doing that, you're not getting people saved. You're getting people to make a confession. But God said in latter days, their lips, they'll serve me with their mouth. Oh, Jesus, come to our heart. They'll serve you with their tears. They'll serve you with anything in the flesh they can. They just won't serve you with their heart. And that's what we're after, because that's what God wants. God judges after the heart. Let's look at the next slide. It says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I test the mind. I'm searching. I'm not writing this. This is God. This is for what? Jeremiah, that's 4,000 years old. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. What thoughts are you thinking? I'm not talking about temptation. Satan, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Satan may put thoughts in your head. You're driving down the street. You see some naked picture or half naked somebody in a magazine up on the wall. Or you hear somebody cursing and swearing. It's like Brother Hagin say, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you ought to be able to stop them from making a nest in your hair. So, yeah, thoughts will be out there, but it's not your thought because you heard it or because you thought it. It's your thought when you hold on to it, when you meditate it. Your sister walked by. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, she looking good. Hey, if I even saw somebody that was attracting me other than my wife, I'm not going to meditate that. I'm not going to get, like I said, I'm dead to sin, but I ain't blind and fine. I still know a good looking woman. If I'm somewhere, we were down at Miami Beach and folks running around topless. I'm like, what kind of beach is this? I had my kids down there. They were a little younger then. I'm like, I didn't know Miami Beach was going topless. But it might have been somebody from the French Riviera or something. That's where they roll. So we just sitting there and all of a sudden this girl come by and we're like, whoa. What is she doing? She trying to sunbathe. Like, that's a little more sun than you need. But, you know, back when I was a teenager, I'm a little more fleshy. I've been like, hey, what's your number? Sitting there like, you just going to put it out like that, you know? I don't think nothing about them. Don't worry about that. I wasn't thinking about that. After I got married, and even before I got married, when I started dating my girlfriend, my mind is on her. I'm not looking at no other God. My God is on my mind is on my God. Get some discipline, some self-control. Don't blame yourself if you have to grow in it, but be growing in it. Be meditating the word of God. If you're a single man, of course you look at girls, she look good. But I'm talking about you undressing her with your eyes and you imagine having sex with her. A single man, a girl ought to look good. A man shouldn't look good to you. See what I'm saying? So a girl, because, you know, sometimes people ask, well, Pastor, why am I? I said, no, I'm not calling that lust unless you're, lust is an inordinate desire. A single man who wants to get married, looking at a girl, realizing she's fine and she looks good, ain't nothing wrong with that. She does look good. I'm trying to determine this one from that one. I ain't talking about nothing about that at all. I still know what a good looking woman looks like to me. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about you like, yeah, you know, it like this and like that. And you imagining and all that right there. You letting the nest get built in your hair. Okay? You ain't so letting no nest get built in your hair. That's what we're talking about. But the Lord searches the heart and he tests the mind, even to give every man. Now, when's the last time you heard a preacher tell you the Lord is searching your heart? He sees you. He is testing your mind. He wants to see what you think. No, they're teaching something else. Six steps to stand married. And you should teach that, but not exclusively that. Do come back around to, and also all this I'm telling you, that's good for you. That's the word of God, but don't keep sinning. Go that way and sin no more. Now let's talk about how to straighten out these problems in your life, your money, the Dave Ramsey school and all that, but you better stop sinning. Because this right here ain't as important as stop sinning. But this is important, but not as important as stop sinning. So you got to come back. I search the Lord. That's God speaking. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. What's the reward to man and woman? The way they acting. You would know the tree by the fruit it bears, and according to fruit it bears is how God's going to reward it. If you bear much fruit, you'll be blessed. If you bear little fruit, you'll be pruned. If you bear no fruit, you'll be cut off and cast into the fire. Even to give every man according to the way, according to the fruit of his doings. I search the heart and I search the mind. The Lord goes to and fro, seeking whom he can show himself strong to. Lord, bless me. I ain't telling you he's going to bless you because you asked, bless you because you prayed. He's going to bless you because you're blessable. You got yourself in position where blessings coming down. You got yourself under the spout where the blessings falling out. And that's the spout of righteousness. That's the spout of obedience. That's the spout of being pleasing to the Father. Your parent who you're displeasing to, who you're cursing out, who you're mean to, who you don't ever listen to obey, that parent ain't going to give you a whole lot of reward. Let's say a fool. And one thing about God, he's not a fool. So you can't count on God accidentally not knowing you acting crazy and disrespecting him and him blessing you up the wazoo. That ain't even accidentally going to happen. God blesses those. He searches the heart. He searches the mind to see who he can find faithful to the things of God. And that person is the person who he blesses. The Lord examines, scrutinizes, proves a person's heart, his thoughts, their will, their conscience, their true intent. That's the person he's going to bless. Blessings and rewards are according to what God can find in your heart and what he can find in your mind. When he rambles through your heart and rambles through your mind, does he find a heart that's excited about the things of God? How can I do more for the kingdom? How can I serve? How can I be faithful? A heart that's full of, I got to go to work, got to make this money, you know, got to do this with the wife, got to do that with the kids. I used to say to, I don't know, Helen or the kids, I said, where's your got to do for God at? What do you got to do for God? I'm hearing all this. I got to do the dishes. I got to go to the school. I got to go to work. I got to do this. Where's that got to for God? What you got to do for God? Even when people do Bible study, they don't say, I got to do Bible study. They don't look at it as something that's important. They look at it as, well, if I got some time left and I'm not too tired, I'm about to go over here and do some Bible study. Why you sound so sad? Let's say I get to do Bible study. Let's at least, you know, either you got to do it an obligation or you get to do it. All your words are revealing your heart. Your words reveal your heart. This unimportant stuff people think they got to do. If you didn't do that, the world's not going to stop within 24 hours. But if you keep putting God to the back, he'll let you put him to the back. The problem is everything about God says first fruits, the best of everything to God first. You bring me the best of the year. You give me the finances off the top, not what's left over. You bring me the best. Everything God asks for is the best. Why? Because he loved you so much, he gave his best to die for you. And he did not withhold any of it from you. And we're going to try and give him second best. God, if I got some time left over, maybe I'll help out at the church. If I got some money left over, maybe I'll give a little bit to you, Lord. Well, Lord, if I got some energy left over, maybe I'll give you a moment of prayer. If I'm not too tired. And we really don't see that. We really think we're giving God that and we think he's just thrilled to have us. We better wake up because he's God, not us. I, the Lord, search your heart and I test your mind. 1 Samuel 7:3 says, direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. Well, if I serve God, how am I going to serve the boss? The Bible says obey those who have authority over you. But you don't obey those who have authority and not serve God. So God's not, some of the stuff people are doing, that's where they get, the devil tricks them. They're doing things God said do. I might talk to some brother, how come you don't do nothing at church? Sister, how come you don't do nothing at church? Hey, you got gifts, how come you don't do anything? Well, you know, I got to work. And the Bible said, man, didn't work, need shall eat. God also said fast. You quote that? Maybe during your fast, you can come work. No, I don't know that scripture. That's what I thought. I said, God says above all things, seek the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. What is the purpose of man? To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. All thy heart, all thy mind. The Lord searches the heart. He searches the mind. He told us what to serve him with. He's going to look to see if we did it. He's going to prove us. He's going to examine us. He's going to scrutinize us. He's going to judge us based on what's in our heart and our mind. What was our mind, will, and emotions about the things of God? Because some people could serve the Lord grudgingly. Bible says don't serve grudgingly. Some people can give grudgingly. He says, don't give grudgingly, because all that reveals a heart. I'm going to do this, God, because I don't want to go to hell, and I think I'm smart enough to trick you that you won't know I really don't want to do it. So here you go, God. God going to say, you might as well keep it. Might as well keep it. Because I'm after your heart. I'm not even after your money. I'm after your heart. But where your treasure is, your heart is. So because that means something to you, I want to see if you give. I want to see if you sow. I want to see if you volunteer. I want to see if you get involved. I want to see if you do something. Or if you say, I got to do stuff that I feel the reward. See, now when I go make this paycheck, I get to eat it. It's real tonight. But it was real yesterday. It's going to be real tomorrow. He's just nice enough to let us see it because he loves us. And hey, he don't want us. All of us going to be in heaven. We're going to be rejoicing, saying, thank God we did not get caught up with that nonsense. Because if I was over there hearing it, I would have thought that was it. I would have just overlooked this, because for years, faith came from hearing it. I wasn't hearing it. And I didn't believe it if I wasn't hearing it. And when people spoke it, they textualized it a different way, but they didn't match what was said in the original language. They took that new twisted doctrine on top of it. And I'm like, yeah, see, God's just lucky to have me. I said the magic words. And I ain't got to live right or nothing. Yeah, I should live right. You better live right. I know I should stop. You better stop sinning. I, the Lord, searches the heart. You get rewarded according to the fruit. Here's a word from Samuel telling folks, I'm giving you a hint, you better direct your heart towards the Lord and you better serve him only. The prophet Samuel, man of God, you better direct your heart towards God, because your heart will drift off somewhere else. Your heart will drift off on that job, drift off on the wife, the kids, everywhere else. You better put God first place. David will say the same thing. Seek the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Let's go to the next slide. This is what happens here. God judges both the heart and the mind, but they must be in agreement to follow God. But the heart's more important than the mind, because with the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made in salvation. But with the heart, man believeth. If you say you believe God, you're not going to believe him with your mouth. You're not going to believe him with your brain. For with the heart, man believeth. God would judge after heart, because the heart will let him know what's in it. The word of God is sharp. It is divided. The intentions of the heart. The soul. When your heart is saying, no, I like singing. Now, I could have ridden, which I wrote on another slide and I switched it back. I had ridden. I wrote, I am. Let's follow God. And then the heart said, I am. Because so many people say they are following God when they're not. So you got folks to do say I am when they're really not. Yeah, I'm following God. And you got people to say, let's follow God. And they just straight out their actions speaking, not their mouth, their actions saying, no, I like sin. See, I'm in bondage. In that case, you're not saved. Let's get saved and you'll be free from sin. No, I am saved. Well, in that case, you're not in bondage. You're choosing it. But you don't understand. I understand the flesh is weak and I understand how to make it strong. Meditate the word. So what you need to do if your flesh is weak, you need to meditate the word to make your spirit stronger than your weak flesh. And then you can win. Now, I don't want to go to Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. I want to do Bible study. I want to watch dirty movies. I want to watch crap. I want to spend time outside of church. But I really want to be strong. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Whatever you sow into, you're going to reap. If you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. Death, corruption, works of the flesh. If you sow into the spirit, you're going to reap life eternal. You'll reach the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, temperance, goodness. Against such, there's no law. It is a formula. It's simple mathematics that God is teaching you. If you have good plus good, it equals good. You have good plus bad, it's still going to equal bad. If you have bad plus bad, it's going to equal awful. The way to equal good is do good, think good. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think and meditate what is good. Put no wicked thing before your eyes. Put a guard about your heart. Put a watch about your lips. Put a gate about your heart. You can't let that crap come in and not affect you. And the world is full of trash. Full of it. That's filth. That is spiritual filth. But if your heart is like, well, you know, I kind of like a good movie. It's just a little bit of that in there. Yeah, but it's a little bit of that in all of them, and you watch a lot of them. So that's getting in you. You're putting, what is it? Don't be mixing the leaven with the yeast with the leaven or something like that. You got the leaven of the Pharisees sliding up in your dough. That stuff will get you. Let's follow the Lord. Your mind says, yeah, you know, Pastor Cook, that's good. I read that about, yeah, let's, your mind says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow God. But then your heart is, but I like singing. I'm going to just do it one more time. You know, well, you know, God will forgive me. You think you're fooling God? God is not to be made a fool of. Whatever you sow unto, that shall you reap. God is not to be mocked. Now, when you meditate the word enough that you build your spirit, when you come to church regularly and feed your spirit, when you surrender to God, the power of God comes in you like never before. Because so a few people have actually said, God, I'm going to give you 90 days. I'm going to do what you say. Even if it's inconvenient, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk in wisdom. I'm going to read and study. I'm going to get some of this filth out of my life. They're like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. Because the blessing is in surrendering and making him your God. The blessing is not saying, how little can I do and still get into heaven? Because it's not going to work like that. But when you surrender God, you let the Holy Spirit and his anointing come in and take over your life. And I'm not perfect all the time, but I'm perfect most of the time. That means I still miss it some of the time. But I've been pressing for 35, 40 years now, and I'm nowhere near what I used to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be yet. I'm still pressing. I don't count myself to have attained. But there's stuff that used to bother me. Satan, he don't even waste no time. Like going to church in the morning. I don't ever have any problem going to church because I'm way past that. But I remember the time where it's like, you know, I ain't going today. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I was up late last night. Well, you know, I don't want to be falling asleep in there in church, so it's better if I don't go. I don't know, lies of the devil. When you're supposed to get in the bed so you be awake the next day, you ain't hear the God saying go to bed. But you hear, I ain't going to go to church today because ain't no use me going tired, snoring. Pastor don't like your snoring in church. That ain't nobody. When you're talking that kind of stuff, you know you listen to the devil. And you know you listen to the devil too. You know it. But you say, but yeah, that does match what I want to do. Because my will is not to be in church. I'll punish my flesh. And when I was getting out of that habit, I made myself go tired. Because it just hit me. The spirit would say, you should have gone to bed then. Flesh, shut up. You should have gone to bed. And I would go there tired and be sleepy. And if I got embarrassed, I had a sister nudge me a little bit like, wake up, brother. And I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. But I made my flesh pay the price. And I said, no, it ain't going to happen no more. So I start going to bed. But if I make provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh by saying, yeah, I am tired, I'm not going. Guess what's going to happen next week? The same thing. You let the devil pull you off a faithful commitment to the things of God. Whatever he let you off at that time, you're giving him the key to what to get off. Oh, well, you know, they called me into work and I got to do that. When I had another commitment, well, you know, that's what the key is. The devil going to remember that. All I got to do is get them to say, here's some money. If you don't come to church, here's some money. And they're going to be, ooh, I got this job. I've been believing God for income. Were you believing God to forsake the assembly of the saints, though? Well, in that case, that's a trick of the devil. And if you're faithful to God, he could double up on that because you were faithful. But the devil's always going to throw something up, especially when it's money. He's always going to throw some money up because he wants to know, what price is it for you to serve me? How much does it cost for you to serve me? A bonus, a tip, a raise? What does it cost? And if you got a price, the devil will pay it. He'll pay any price for you to go to hell because he's got all the money in the world. But the question is, will you pay the price to go to heaven? The devil will pay any price to get you in hell, but will you pay the price to get yourself in heaven? Salvation is a free gift, and it's the most expensive gift you ever paid for. Because God asked for all in return of him giving you all. And I have to read the Bible to see if in the original language the word free is actually in there, or if people just threw that in there. As far as I remember, it says it's a gift of God. I don't know if it says it's a free gift. I always heard growing up it's a free gift of God. And I don't know if it's free when it costs you everything. That sounds like a very expensive gift to me. Now, I didn't have to pay the price for it because I didn't die on the Christ. But I do have to pay the price to receive it. But I didn't pay the price for it. See what I'm saying? There's a difference there. So, yeah, to you to receive it, it's priceless. It's very expensive. For you to have to pay to do it, you didn't have to live right. Jesus lived right for you. But now that you're free from sin, you have to live right. You have to work out that salvation that was paid for you. And that cost is everything. Romans 10:10, first part of verse in the NIV 1984 says, it is with the heart that man believe if I'm justified. You're not justified with the brain. So the brain can be saying, yeah, I live right. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. But you don't ever go out and do it. It's because you didn't meditate the word to renew your mind, to get it down in your heart. And as a man thinketh not in his head, but thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you believe in your heart is how you are. That's why God can judge after the heart. What you believe in the heart is how you are, not what you believe in your head is how you are. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still receive from God. So you can have faith in your head and doubt in your heart and not receive from God. It's about what's in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you really believe to be true, that's what's going to come out in your life, because out of the heart flow the issues of life. Life comes from what's in your heart. If your heart is right, then things will be right in life. If your heart is wrong, things will be wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. I'm glad we agreed to serve the Lord. Can you say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I serve the Lord with all my heart and with all my mind. Your soul, that's part of your soul, your mind, your will, and emotion. So, of course, if you had to get your will right, to get your heart right, to get your mind right. If you will to do the things of God, you'll begin to grow in the things of God. If you don't will to do things of God, but you will to do things of the world, you're going to grow in worldliness. And you're going to feel real guilty because you'll hear me preach a message, or you open your Bible and the Holy Spirit love you so much, he'll be chasing you, and you'll feel bad, and you feel like you're getting a spanking and a whipping. But if you keep going out doing the same thing, you're going to keep feeling bad about it until you eventually say, I'm going to go to a church where I don't have to feel bad. And then you're just going to end up in hell, feel bad for eternity, although you'll feel good on this earth. You'll feel like you're going to heaven, but you'll be going to hell. That's when you say, devil, have me. I'm just tired of feeling bad, and I'm not going to do right. I ain't going to do right, devil. So I just want to feel them doing right. So you go find a church where they're having itching ears. You go find a preacher that would tell you what you want to hear. Baby, God is lucky to have you. He ain't had nobody special as you forever. Jesus paid the price for everything. You ain't got to do all that. Just come over here and enjoy. This is it right here. This is just, it's all start right here. And then one day when people wake up and like, oh my gosh, I have been deceived. That's exactly what God's always trying to warn us against. The deception of the devil, the yeast of the Pharisees. He's constantly trying to tell us that if you turn away from that, you got to go back to next week. That son who turns away from the father will stop learning. Even that which they know will be taken away. If you go hang on the false doctrine, you won't remember nothing I said. You won't remember none of this. You hang on a false doctrine, it's all going to make sense. It's called a false systematic theology, where I start with a lie and I build around that lie, that all that makes sense to you. That's why when you talk to people with truth and they've been going to church longer than you, they still look at you like you're wrong. Because faith doesn't come by hearing it one time, because by hearing and hearing. And they're over there where they keep telling them, no, they see grace is, those people over there enjoy faith trying to get you to get in works. Don't be talking about joy of faith. The Bible says you're saved for good works. God's trying to get you in the works, not joy of faith. God is trying to get you. Don't be blaming it on me. I already told you I didn't write this. I wish it. Hey, I was pretty good, but I didn't write that. I didn't write James, which talks about was not Abraham, who wasn't even born again. Was not Abraham and Sarah and Rahab and all of them. Were they not justified by works? Well, faith without works is dead, been alone. You ain't got no faith that's going to get you to heaven if you don't have works to go with it if you're born again. Because to the born again believer, faith without works is dead. You can't work to get saved, but you got to work to stay saved. There's nowhere in the Bible where they say once saved, always saved. Just as clear as I can explain that to you, I'm explaining this. But people won't hear it, are still going to believe that fake grace. Grace is not fake. It's very real. But when you teach it improperly, that's fake. We call that sloppy grace, that you can be saved, not have to live right, because grace covers all your sins. Grace covers the sin of a sinner. Grace for the believer is enablement to live right. You are enabled to live right now that you're free from the body of sin and you have the grace of God. The word that you're hearing, if you meditate and you study it, you'll stop sinning. That's the power of the word of God to change your life. But these churches, they'll be denying the power thereof. Church would be full of sinners, people abusing the body, people abusing the mind, people abusing their spouses, people abusing everything. Folks overladen with addictions. And I'm not talking about folks just came in. I'm talking folks been in the church 30 years and still hadn't made any positive changes. That's a problem. The word of God is far more powerful than that. A person should feel uncomfortable that they need to change or run away and give their life to the devil and just go to hell, or they would be changing, because faith comes by hearing. Instead, there are preachers out there that will tell them things that they don't have to change. in the latter days, there will be a great apostasy, a great falling away. Back in the 80s and the 90s, word churches were blowing up. People were hungry for the word. I think that might have been the great harvest. And we may be on that backside sliding into that man of sin, that man of perdition being revealed, because he's behind these churches out there that's all party and all fluff and all puff, but no change your life. No stop sinning. And we talk about that this whole summer, that preparation of that man of perdition being revealed, that man of sin, who's saying it doesn't matter. You can be a Buddhist, a Sikh, or you ain't got to believe in Jesus. There's people going to heaven because they're good people. That is not in the Bible. There's a whole lot of good people going to be in hell. Good from man's standards. Not good from God's standards, but good from man's. There's going to be a lot of people who gave a lot to charity in hell. There's going to be a lot of people that did a lot of good works going on. There's going to be a lot of people, when you look at them and say, but they're a good person, they're going to be in hell because they didn't do his will. And that's what the Bible says. And more people would do it if more people heard it. That's why Satan's making sure it's not said that much. And these churches are popping up, getting away from this. They don't even realize, some of them, they really think they're doing the work of Jesus, just like Paul thought he was doing the work of God when he's out there killing Christians. He honestly, his intentions were right. In his mind, he was right. He was getting rid of the enemies of God. But he was always 100% wrong, and he was murdering God's people wrong. Paul repented of himself and talked about how wrong he was and how he said, I'm the least of the apostles. Paul said, but these things I didn't know. But if Paul hadn't given his life to Christ, Paul would have been busting hell wide open. But he turned 180 degrees and he was on fire for God. Paul has no shortage of doing what this word said, the heart. God can judge Paul's heart and say it. That brother took whippings, he took beatings, he took abuse, he took shipwreck. Paul said, look, all right, let me brag for a moment. He said, shipwrecks, a day and a half in the sea. No perils, stripes, 3 times 30, 40 minus 1. I mean, he goes on and on. He said, I've had all that, but yet I count myself to be nothing, all to be nothing but dung. That's a model. Jesus is a model. Next slide. In Zechariah 13:9, in the New Living Translation, it says, I will refine them like silver. I will purify them. God is getting us to examine ourselves, and he's examining us to say, hey, you know, pastor, you need to teach this. Or he's examining you to somebody come across you with this word or that word. He's doing just like a good coach would do. You have to examine and see what the pupils doing to see if they got a bad backstroke, or look at the student and say, look, you know, that denominator is not right. You have to go and calculate this like that. If the teacher's not examining you, not watching you, not scrutinizing you, you could be doing, if you got one sitting over there, yeah, you're doing good. Keep going. Yeah, that's real good. You're doing real good. Yeah. And you just keep taking the parents' money, but you're not even paying attention to the child. You're not helping them with their basketball game. You're not helping whatever you're paying for. They play the piano like a monkey. And you just sitting up there, you're doing really good. You're one of my best students. And the parents listen to him and say, I paid you a whole year, and that's what he played at the recital. Then play chopsticks. What? These other kids playing Bach and Beethoven and Chopin, and you playing chopsticks? I want my money back. I want everybody's money back. This is crazy, you know? But this is what the devil's doing. He's out there, you know, got these preachers telling you, you're doing real good. God, lucky to have you. No, God is saying, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. The word of God is for reproof, correction, and instruction and sound doctrine, that the person of God might become thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God's interested in us working. Yeah, renew your mind to the word of God that you can prove the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. God wants us to actually do his will, to live his will. No, that's all Jesus. Jesus and grace did all that. I don't have to do nothing because I can't touch the glory. I just got to be me. I got to be free to be me. But I sure thank Jesus for paying all the price for everything. Jesus didn't pay the price for you to get to heaven. He paid the price for you to get free from sin so you can live right and get to heaven. It's a small difference, but it's a difference. Jesus, I like to say Jesus bought my opportunity. I'm not sure there's a scripture that says Jesus bought your salvation. I know Jesus died so you can be saved. But somebody made a car so I could have one. But somehow when they made the car, Ford didn't give it to me. They want me to pay for it. But somebody made a car so I can have one. I never made a car. So everybody who made cars, I can have one. But them making a car doesn't mean I have it without me having to do something. Jesus died to save the world. Jesus didn't die and everybody in the world got saved. And that's two different things. And I think people need to distinguish that. God is a refiner. He's examining you, scrutinizing you to refine you. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. Oh, God wants us to be purified? No, no, we can stay stinky, dirty, and nasty, as long as we say the magic words. Mm-mm. God wants you purified. I want you holy as I'm holy. I want you, anybody saying anything other than that, get out that church. Anybody go on there, you talk to them, explain to them, saying, I love you. I got to tell you the truth. God is not going for that. You can stay in sin. God says, go thy way and sin no more. God is trying to refine you. He's trying to make you pure. He said, be holy. Ain't no such thing as perfect. Nobody's perfect. God says, you better be perfect as I'm perfect. So you better be striving. You better be pressing. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. Then they'll call on my name and I will answer them. They got to call on him, though. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. The Lord tries, examines, and scrutinizes your heart to perfect you. So he will bless you. You should yield to his reproof, yield to his correction, yield to his instruction, yield to sound doctrine, so you can become and remain abundantly blessed, because that's what you want. Let's look at the next slide. The big takeaway from tonight is guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. Keep thy heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence is consistency. Diligence is not discipline, dedication, determination, decisiveness. Diligence is the fact that you stay at it. You press. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means don't ever let back. Don't ever cut down. Don't ever let your hair down and say, I'm just going to watch the nasty because it's just for a couple of hours. With all diligence, protect your heart. Another translation, NIV, says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. There are people struggling to live right because their heart is wrong. You can't live right when your heart is wrong, because everything you're doing is coming from your belief system, and your belief system is those things you hold. If you believe you can continue eating sin and yet produce righteousness, the problem is not your will of you trying. The problem is that can't happen. You can't keep feeding on sin. You can't keep eating potato chips and french fries only and think you're going to be an Olympic class athlete. I don't care how much faith you think you have. Faith about the corresponding action to what you believe to be the athlete is dead. If you're not going to go do the exercise and have the right diet, it's dead. Oh, the Lord gives me a long life, should satisfy me. I should be healed all days of my life. But you eat like a pig, you are going to die. You ain't going to get around it. God loves you. He told you. But whatsoever you sow into, that's what you're going to reap. God's not ever said if you die, it's okay. You got to die to get to heaven anyway. He's not that worried about it. So don't think, no, the Lord wouldn't have that happen to me. God will let you die with cancer. He'll let you die with them cutting body parts off you, because that's the way you wanted it. People really need to know it's going to be unto them according to their faith, and their faith corresponding actions is dead. But if you get the right actions, the godly actions, not enough devils in hell can do anything against you from what God promised. But the devil has to have us cooperate with him for those things to come upon us, because we've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death, and we've been lied to by the devil in the past. So some of us are going through some things now. No guilt on you. No shame on you. That's not your fault. You didn't know. How they know except they have a preacher. But now you got a preacher to tell you how to eat right. If you don't do it, that ain't me. That's you. Are you keeping your heart with all diligence? Are you whatever you're trying to prove? I'm trying to not waste money and throw money away, but you hang around with friends all the time. Let's go spend it anyway. Let's go spend that money anyway. Girl, buy it, girl. You only live once, buy it. And you find yourself when you go out with them breaking your budget. Stop hanging around them. They're not a blessing to you. I ain't said they weren't nice people. They're just not a blessing to you. They're not helping you do what you're doing. The Bible says don't tempt your brother. They're tempting you, because you might be weak in that area, or they're not, but they keep being a source of the devil in your area. You got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you want to live a chaste singlehood, and that person always trying to get in your underwear. You tell them, you talk to them, but they keep trying to do that. You got to walk away from them. It's a matter of whether you love them or God more. You got friends that are negative, relatives that are negative. You got to decide which one you love more. If you can't stay with God and continue to grow, and they're hitting, I'm not talking about somebody saying something wrong. The whole world going to be saying something. You got to be anywhere. I'm talking about this person is not respecting your right to do that, and they're negative in your life. It's worth, like I said, you cut off your arm, poke out your eye. It's better to go to heaven with one eye and to go with one arm than to go to hell with a full body. It's better. Above all else, you better guard your heart. What kind of music do you listen to? What do you hear on the radio? What are the people around you saying to you? What kind of words are they speaking? Because words are powerful. Every word carries an energy, a negative energy or positive energy. Very few words have a neutral energy. If people always say, you're not going to make it, you're dumb, the white man got us, we can't make it, it's the white man, we can't do nothing. Nobody listens to that all the time is ever going to do anything successful. Because they've already got an excuse. I can't be successful. The white man did it. But if you listen to somebody saying you can do all things through Christ, you're more than able. God has anointed you. He's lifted you up. He's exalted you. You're going to get there if you stay with it. And you do the rest that goes along with that. You walk by faith. You do the corresponding action to match what you're believing for. You can get out of debt. You can be financially wealthy. You can do all those things. But you got to believe first, and you got to meditate and get the word in your heart. Then you got to get in faith and take the actions to produce that. God is not a respecter of persons. If you see somebody out there blessed because they follow God, he'll do the same thing for you. But you got to do what they did. It's equal commitment to the things of God. Last slide. Let's review the opening slide again. What we've been talking about is the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the heart. What is the Lord going to try? The Lord's going to try your heart. What does that mean? God is going to examine your heart with the word, and he's going to scrutinize your heart. Why? Because he's loving you. He's chasing, reproving you. You're going to a church. The word hits you. You may feel a little guilty about where you're wrong at, but you should. I thank God that he corrects me. It says the wise man loveth correction. So I quit a long time ago getting upset. If I'm wrong, I got to eat crow and say I was wrong. I was stupid. If I'm tired of feeling this way, then I better change, not go hide or duck and try and skip away from it. Just slap me in the face, Lord. Don't ever give up on me. Keep loving me, God. And then you respond. If you feel bad about a negative action, take a positive action next time. Don't go hide. Don't stop coming to church. Don't go, oh, it's me, and start having a pity party. Just say, you know what? I'm a change. Joy Faith Christian or church help you make a positive change. Change. Faith come by hearing. I need to hear that again because my head is hard or my butt is just hard here. So I'm going to make sure I whip my flesh up. I'm going to go meditate those scriptures or the stuff that the pastor said to kick my butt. Holy Ghost is talking to me. I'm going to go over. I'm not going to say, I ain't buying that. Every time Pastor Butler preached a sermon that really tore me up, I said, I don't want to, but I got to buy it. But not my will, but thy will be thy, Lord, because you was kicking my butt today. Pastor was eating my lunch. He was standing on my toes with his Brogaines on. But I know I was wrong. Pastor McCann got one as my favorite sermon. He was assistant pastor. He wasn't even a pastor. My favorite sermon was about assistant pastor McCann taught one called Discipline for the Purpose of Godliness. And that just tore me up because I was undisciplined. I was doing what I wanted to do, what my flesh wanted to do. And I said, you know what? That's the key. I got to get more discipline. And that message, I've listened to that message probably 100 times. I wore out 3 or 4 cassettes on it. I put it on CD and played it through a bunch of CDs. Discipline for the purpose of godliness. Discipline for the purpose. There's a thing in there where he said, yeah, you got to be like Peter and you got to be like Paul. I bet them guys had calves. They were stepping on them thongs and they were walking and they was tired, but they was walking, carrying the gospel. They were just, I was like, dang, they doing all that. And I'm talking, I ain't coming to church tomorrow. I'm tired. I was like, dang, you know, it's like I was feeling that message because like you put me to shame. You talk about all they doing and all they did and all they went through. I'm talking, I ain't coming. I'm tired. I was like, tired? What's tired got to do with it? Tired is relevant. If you're going to be tired, deal with that before and go to bed. That's not an excuse. That's a reason for you to get less in the world, more on God, so you won't be tired. That's how you do that. You don't go talk about, well, you know, I'm not going to do things to God because I'm tired. You ain't fooling nobody but you. God is not fooled. God's looking at the heart, and he says, wrong choice. Because you're telling me that what's in the world is more important to you than me. Because I see you doing stuff for the world. I see your heart. Very important, people. Very important. Out of the heart flow the issues of your life. Is your heart to overeat? Is your heart to oversleep? Is your heart to not read and study the word? Is your heart to skip church? What is your heart? God's going to judge after the heart. And if you judge your heart and you find yourself lacking, thank God for revelation and then get the word. Don't sit and use willpower. Go get the word power. Get the word and meditate it so your spirit will be stronger than your flesh in the area so you can get victory. Victory. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word today and for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us in the path of righteousness that leads to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.